All right, so last week I started something that I was going to do, seven lessons on Matthew 24. You know, we was talking this morning about how you hear something over and over and over and over, and after a while you just get tired of fighting against it, and you just come to a point where you just kind of accept things. And, you know, false teaching can be that way. Matthew 24 has got upwards of over 30 verses, and it talks about a lot of things. So it's very difficult in a five-minute setting when you have with people, or even in a lesson to teach, to talk about what Matthew 24 is saying and what it's not saying. Last week, I went into great lengths. I went into great lengths about who Jesus was talking to. And, of course, the answer to who Jesus is talking to is the Jews. The old covenant was a promise made by God that if these people stayed faithful to this covenant, that God would send a Savior to them, and He came to them. And when the Gentiles came to Him and said, "Lord, help us this, and Lord, help us that," and there was a confrontation one time where He said the master's children shouldn't share their food with the dogs. And that's a difficult passage because Jesus didn't come to the Gentile world. The apostles did. Jesus told them to go. But see, what they missed was God had made a promise in the Old Testament that He would send them a Savior. And He did. And when He came to them, He was speaking to them. And more than just talking to the Jews. Now, we can understand different things from the parables. Certainly our hearts and the prodigal son and these kind of things. But when Jesus was speaking to the Jews, He specifically was speaking to that generation. And He says that multiple times. This generation is evil. This generation seeks a sign. This generation will not pass away. This generation, this generation. He was talking to those people. And the reason people have a hard time with understanding that is because they don't understand how that generation could hear what Jesus said and then see the things that Jesus said they were going to see, reading in Matthew 24. Some false teaching is easy to rebuke. We all have our ideas. We all come to the Bible with preconceived notions. But most people will teach that the passage that says, "Eyes not seen nor ear heard," what God has in store for those, they'll say that that's heaven. They'll say that, you know, we just can't fathom what God is talking about when it comes to heaven and the rewards that He has. But see, that's easily rebuked because if you just read the very next verse, He says God has revealed them by His Spirit. So it's not something we can't understand. It's something we can't understand without the Holy Spirit of God. In other teachings, it's a little harder. So we've got seven lessons that we're going to talk about Matthew 24. And last week we went in depth about that He was speaking to the Jews. So this week we're going to go into what was He speaking to the Jews about. Okay? So you're like, "Phew, glad that's over. Now you can get started." Okay. Matthew 24, 1 through 2. "Then Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and His disciples came up to show Him the buildings of the temple. Jesus said to them, 'Do you not see all these things? Assuredly I say to you, not one stone shall be left here upon another, left upon another that shall not be thrown down.'" So, we're reasonably smart people. We can follow a train of thought. We were taught this in school. Now, I know things have changed a lot since we were in school, but it's still, when you read something, you had to comprehend what you were reading. It's called comprehension. So that means that you would read something and you would retain some sort of knowledge from what you read. When Jesus made this statement, when He departed from the temple and His disciples came up to Him and showed Him the buildings of the temple, they were amazed. They thought, "Look at this. Look how wonderful this temple is. Look how mighty this temple is." And He says, "You see these things that you think are so great?" He said, "Not one stone will be left upon another." Now, we know that He's talking about the temple of His body, Because he says later, when he says this temple, he says, I will throw down, and in 3 days I'll build it back. And they said it took, 67 years to build this temple, and in 3 days you're going to rebuild it? See, they didn't understand. So when he was talking and the disciples came to him, he's speaking to the disciples. And what are they talking about? What are they talking about? The temple. So how is it that we can see very plainly here that he's talking about the temple, and yet when we go further on, we think he starts talking about something else? There is a time when he starts talking about something else, but right now he is talking about the temple. You see, Jesus understood the importance of the temple to a Jew, not only in terms of worship under the law, but it literally defined who they were to the world. They were God's people. And this is why he uses the temple to answer part of the apostles' upcoming question. Because when he makes this statement, he's talking about the temple, and then they come to him and they ask him a question. So I want to ask you something. God's people is a great thing. The church having the Holy Spirit of God, being spiritual Israel, how is it that we can look at the people of God? But I ask you, which is greater, the nation of God or God Himself? Right? Which is greater, us or God? Well, it certainly is God. And so when Jesus is looking at this temple, the apostles are so enamored at the majesty of the temple of God. And Jesus looks at it and he says, oh, this will be thrown down. But yet somehow in our minds, we think Matthew 24 is talking about rebuilding that temple. That's what we think. That's what we've been told. Is that Matthew 24 is talking about a time that will come when Jesus will rise up and all of this. But Jesus looks at that temple and he says, I'm greater than the temple. Because he says, that'll be thrown down, but in 3 days, I will raise it back up. Matthew 24:3. This is when the apostles came to him. And now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and of the end of the age? All right, you look at this question and you think, wow, that's pretty deep. And so the only thing people see is the end of the age. That's what people see. They think that it's talking about the end of the world. So, let's go back to this comprehension thing. What was he talking about? The temple. They were looking at the temple. He said the temple will be thrown down. Not one stone will be left upon another. And they were confused by this. They come to him and they ask him several questions. See, a lot of people will still teach today that it was really one question. What's the sign of you coming back in the end of the world? How much did the disciples and the apostles know at this point? Do you remember when Jesus said that he was going to die? Do you remember that? And you know what Peter said? He said, I'm not going to let that happen. He said, I'm not going to let that. He didn't even know Jesus was supposed to die. See, now on this side, way over here, when we've read the whole picture and we think we're something because we know all this stuff, right? And we're over here and we see it, we're like, Peter, how could you be so blind? They didn't even know Jesus was going to die. But you mean to tell me that they understood he was going to die, that they're looking towards the end of the world? No. These same men that watched Jesus die, when he was arrested, they all scattered. When he was hung on that tree and he died, very few were there. When he raised from the dead and the women came back and they knocked on the door, they said, let us in. He's risen. He's risen. You know what the apostles said? You're crazy. That's what they said. But you think these people were smart enough to think that he's talking about the end of the world? They had no idea what he was talking about. When the Gentiles came into the faith, Paul refers to this as the great mystery. that God just didn't come for the Jews. He came to put us back all, the whole world, back into a right relationship with God. That was a mystery. Peter preached to the Jews on the day of Pentecost, and Peter preached to the Gentiles in the household of Cornelius. And when Peter preached, he had to be given a vision three times to show that he was okay to go to those Gentiles and preach. These people knew very little. So their questions were very basic. You said the temple's going to be thrown down? Tell us when this is going to happen. And you know what happened when he ascended, according to Acts chapter 1, when he ascended? You know what the question they asked him was? Now, take in mind that they've seen all of his teaching. They've seen him die. They've seen him raise. And they said, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel? They still had no idea. So when they're asking, what will be the sign of your coming in the end of the age? They want to know when they're going to conquer Rome. They're going to want to know when they come back to be a conquering nation, because you're our king. They're saying, if this temple's going to fall, when are these things going to happen? And when are you going to stop playing games and restore Israel to the right place that they were? This is what they're thinking. But just like the Bible is pretty thick, the Bible speaks on many, many subjects. And I'll caution you, when you open the Bible and you start reading and you're like, yeah, I knew that. Yeah, I knew this. I just kind of wasted my time. I knew that too, right? See, when you read, God is showing you something. He's showing them something. But people want to teach that He's showing them the end of time. Jesus, do you know what this table represents? Judgment. Judgment is coming down. He says that if you live in an unworthy manner and you come here and you partake of this as a common thing, that you just drink it and act like nothing's, he says that you drink condemnation. He said you're not partaking of the covenant, you're drinking condemnation. And so when people come around this table, they think, I'm not worthy to take it. Well, you're right. But you're the exact type of person that God wants here, because you don't exalt yourself above this table and that you have respect for what God has done. Jesus is showing these apostles, He's going to teach them and show them something that they're not thinking. He's going to show them the life that will happen, some things that will happen before the final judgment of the entire world. Now, we're in Matthew 24:3. It's got upwards of over 30 verses. There's no way I can go through 30 verses in one day. So we have to start and make sure that we understand He's talking to the Jews, He's talking to these Jews, and He's talking about the temple. That's what threw them. Because when He answered before that all these things will be thrown down, they come to Him and said, when are these going to happen? You're confusing us. You see, the first question is obviously about the destruction of the temple. You see, that's what Jesus said. Not one stone left upon another. And that statement is what prompted these questions. So when He says this, He's talking about that temple to those people, that those people will see the destruction of that temple. And so as we read on, if you know anything about history, which I did not, I had to look it up, I had to read, I had to do some research to find out how terrible the destruction of that temple really was. And so when we go to read from this point, now there is a point He stops talking about the temple. But I'll tell you this, it's over 20 verses that He talks about the temple. Because to a Jew, that temple defined who they are. And when that temple fell, they were no longer, they would think, what in the world is happening? And Jesus said, that temple is going to fall, but something else grand is going to happen. And those Jews of that day that He was speaking to, like I'm speaking to you, they saw the destruction of that temple. Jesus raised in, 30 A.D.? The temple fell in 70 A.D. 40 years. Those people were alive to see it. See, 1 Peter tells us, because see, the thing is that these people looked at this temple and they thought it was the greatest. The Son of God was standing right in front of them. And they couldn't see that He was greater than that temple. And the only reason we know that He's greater than any building is because He shows us in verses like this. 1 Peter 2:4 through 5. He says, "Coming to Him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Peter wrote this. The same guy that preached to the Jews, the same guy that preached to the Gentiles in the household of Cornelius and brought everybody together into one body. But those Jews had one thing that the Gentiles didn't have. They had that temple. You see, in those Jews, they always thought, you can say what you want, but that temple, right? That's what the apostles were looking at. They were thinking, wow, you know, that temple's a magnificent thing. But see, Jesus showed us assuredly that God did not send His Son to die for buildings, but for the souls of people. Because Jesus looked at that temple and He said, it's going to be thrown down. And you know what temple He talked about resurrecting? Not that temple. Never. People say it's going to be rebuilt again, and it may very well be, but it's going to have nothing to do with God, because God didn't die for buildings, because He had a building. He looked at it and He said, look at this thing. He says, you think this is great? Look at me. You think that is great? Watch the resurrection. That's what's great. And He says, I am raised as a living stone. I'm the cornerstone. And He says, I will reach out and I will save your souls as one brick at a time, and I will build upon this spiritual house. He says, you think this building is something? Watch this. But people will tell you that Matthew 24 is talking about a time period when the great temple is going to be rebuilt. The great temple's already been rebuilt. Because I ask you again, which is greater, the temple of God or Jesus Christ? You see, you don't even have to answer that, because the temple of God is Jesus Christ. That's what He's telling you right here in Peter. He says, we are built as living stones upon Him. So when we look at this temple and people talk about this temple, and any teaching that goes that this temple is going to rise up again in the face of Jesus Christ and what He did and His death on that cross, His death on that cross, and they're going to look at that and they're going to say, it's greater that this temple be rebuilt than you raised from the dead. That's not true. And so, but see, here's the thing. We've all been taught this. We've all heard this, and we've been taught this. God is going to raise back up the temple. And everybody's looking. Everybody's scared to death about what's going on in Israel. It's a shame for those people. But God is telling you here that what defined those people was this temple. It's gone. You know what defines people now? Jesus Christ. Because which is greater? The temple or Jesus Christ? We have to make a decision. You can't have it both ways. He told you, He said, you can't live under the law and bring that into Christ. Because in Christ, there's the Gentiles, there's the Samaritans. And you know what the law says? Stay away from those people. And He says, you either follow the whole law or you're guilty of breaking the whole law. So either the temple is what everybody's looking towards to be rebuilt, or we're looking for the return of Christ. You're not going to have both. You know why? Because Jesus Christ doesn't need a temple to return to. You know what He's returning to? He's returning for you. That's what He says when we come around this table. He says, you proclaim His death until what? That He comes again. And when He's coming again, He's going to reestablish and build another temple? He's already done that. He already had that. What He wants now is living stones. And this is the passage I talked about earlier. Sometimes I forget what I have up here, but John 2:19-22, Jesus answered and said to them, He says, you destroy this temple, and in 3 days I'll raise it up. I'll raise it back up. And Jesus was saying that in 3 days when he raised from the dead, he said the resurrection was greater than the building of this temple. But the Jews saw that temple as who defined them. And then the Jews said, it's taken 46 years. I said 64, I think. It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you will raise it up in 3 days? Verse 21, he says, but he was speaking of the temple of his body. So if there's any confusion about which Jesus was talking about, what he was concerned about raising from the dead, what he wanted the apostles to learn, they were concerned, you're going to take away our temple? And he answered to them and was telling them about the temple of the body, about the coming church, about us being living stones built up in the body of Christ through his blood, saved, forgiven. You see, the law, the temple, only put your sins over here. And then you did your yearly sacrifice. But you know what you did during that year? All year long, you're walking around, hey, how y'all doing? And you're eating and you're sleeping. And then you come back up and guess what? There's your sin again. See, the temple never did anything for your sin. It just pushed it back. See, the blood of Christ, it took it away, and you walk, and you travel, and you walk, and you look around, and you wonder, where's my sin? I mean, does it? I'm not trying to say that we're sinless. What I'm saying is that He's forgiven us of our sin. So He's not going to be bringing this back up. We don't have to be baptized every Sunday. We don't have to do these things once a year, to be baptized once a year, to come around the table once a year. We don't have to do these things that we have to be reminded, okay, your sin's coming back up, the payment is due. He made the payment. He made the payment. So we're not reminded of these things. And the temple, all it was a reminder, you're a sinner. You know why? Because it was the blood of bulls and goats and fire and all this and priests, and all they did was spend their entire life making atonement for your sin to come back each year. And Jesus took that away. So which is greater, the temple or Jesus? And the attitude and mindset of these apostles, and what most people are told, is it's the temple was greater. But here Jesus is telling them, when they're confronting him directly about the temple, he shows you which one he thinks is better. He says, you're going to tear down this temple and rebuild it in 3 days? It took, 46 years? But Jesus was thinking of the temple of his body. So he's telling you which one he thinks is greater. Now man tells you it's that temple, but Jesus is telling you this. And so what you have to do is you have to slowly look at this. You have to slowly dig to see, you know, he is right. He is talking to those Jews. And when we get there, he even names who they're talking to. Right? If I write a letter and I put, Dear Calvin, Dear Larry, and Dear Bonnie, who am I talking to? Those three people. But when he turns around and he mentions, and I'll tell you later, who the disciples were he was actually talking to, he's talking about the temple of his body. He's letting us know. This is not... So, is what I'm hearing true? Is he really talking to those... Yeah, he's talking to those Jews. Well, what is he talking... Is he talking about... Yeah, he seems to be talking about the temple. You know, those Jews seem to be confused, thinking the temple's greater than he is. But see, that's what we're told, is that when that temple comes back, it's going to be a greater thing than Christ. And so when that temple's built, Christ is going to be so proud of that temple that he's going to come back and sit in that temple. He tells you right here that the only temple he's concerned about after the resurrection is his body. After his resurrection, he doesn't conform. He doesn't care about the other temple. Therefore, when he had risen from the dead, his disciples remembered what he had said to them. See what I said? Remember, I told you, these people didn't understand everything. These people didn't put it all together. We're like, Peter, Jesus had to die. Why would you say such a thing? Well, we've got the whole picture. We've got the Holy Spirit. We've been shown these things. The Bible says that they weren't shown these things. The disciples remember what he said, that he raised from the dead. Wow. His body is the temple. It's greater than this temple. And you know what their mindset focused went away? It went away from the law. You know how we know that? Because they began to teach the resurrection of Jesus, baptized into Christ, forgiveness of sin. And the Jews got really mad at them and said, you're not talking about circumcision and keeping the law. Remember, their focus was on the temple, but after they saw the resurrection, you know what their focus wasn't on anymore? That physical temple. Now, they still were confused because they wanted to know when Jesus ascended. He's like, well, gosh, you've raised from the dead and you're getting ready to go away. When are you going to raise us back up again? See, they still didn't understand everything. But after he died, they certainly understood that the temple of his body was greater than that temple. Jesus saw living stones and he saw dead stones. You know, the Bible says, be careful to get away from dead works. And the works he's talking about is works under the law. You see, there were works that used to bring about forgiveness, leading up to that day when you could walk away from your sin for a year. You know, you could walk away. There was the wave offerings, the grain offerings, and all that kind of stuff. But the dead stones, the dead works, was entrusting in that law. Because see, as we get further into Matthew, it talks about this horrific scene. Pray that your flight doesn't happen in the wintertime and that nursing babies and all this stuff. And people think that this is talked about this terrible tribulation that's come upon them. Dead stones, dead works. People who flocked to the temple and trusted in that law in 70 AD, people who flocked to that temple and didn't run to Jesus and do what he tells you to do. He says, when you see that, you run. Don't go to the temple. They died a horrible death because they trusted in dead works. They trusted in that law. Jesus had raised. He was greater than the temple. They weren't trusting in him. They went back to the law. Hebrews says that. Then in droves, Jews were leaving Jesus and going back to the law because they just couldn't take the persecution anymore. They couldn't take their family looking at them and just... And then you said, please help us, we're hungry. And your family would look at you and say, mm-mm. You abandoned the God of Israel. The God of Israel was the one standing before him that died on the tree. They couldn't even see it. Jesus saw living stones versus dead stones. And as he looked at the temple and as he taught the apostles. Yet people today, you've heard this term, the Wailing Wall. And they say, No. Jesus can't be talking about the temple because the Wailing Wall still stands. They're right. It was an outside wall. But I want us to go back. This has to be a foundation. See, this has to be something that will kick that theory out of your mind. It will break that pillar down. And if you believe in the temple being reconstructed, it puts you on, you know, shaky ground. Because I'll ask you again. After Jesus raised from the dead, which was greater, his resurrection or rebuilding that temple? What did he say? He said rebuilding the temple was rebuilding his body. And he said that we were living stones being built into a spiritual temple. He didn't mention the Jewish temple any longer. His resurrection was greater than that temple. Yet people today still teach that the Wailing Wall, and the people that teach this, they're waiting for that temple to be rebuilt, and they're saying that that temple is greater than the resurrection of Jesus. That is not what he said. And so they'll say that if this is talking about the fall of the temple, it hasn't actually happened yet. But I want us to see this and know this for fact. Jesus did not consider the dead stones part of worship after the resurrection. He didn't consider that temple part of worship. He wouldn't have made that statement in Peter where he says, we were built as living stones, a spiritual house. We were a priesthood to our God. He wouldn't have made that statement if we still were waiting for a temple to go back into. We are the temple. You know what the temple of God represented? It was the Holy of Holies. Like imagine if this was that sucker right here, okay? And this was the Holy of Holies. When we walked into this room, we stood before the presence of God. The presence of God lives within us. God, the Holy Spirit. We are the temple. That's why the temple housed God. Now we house God. We house the Holy Spirit of God. He lives in us. This is His temple. We worship, we pray, we do works of the Spirit, or we don't. But the temple of God that He's concerned about now is you. He's concerned about you. He's not concerned about the dead stones. He's concerned about you. Read the above passage again. Only the temple that would be the only temple that would be recognized after His resurrection would be the living stones. They said, "You're going to tear down this temple and rebuild it." And He was talking about the temple of His body. So, am I saying something that's not found in Scripture here? May not be what you heard, but it's what's in Scripture. And so you have to say, I really got to think about this. Was He talking to the Jews? And was He talking about the temple? He doesn't stop here. We've read Matthew 24, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. He doesn't stop talking about the temple in verse 3. We'll see that, Lord willing, next week. The resurrection of Jesus, greater than anything that would be built again by man. And this is what Matthew 24 is showing us, the future resurrection. Because see, when He said this, He hadn't died yet. Things had to happen. He had to raise before that body would be the temple that He was talking about. And that temple did fall in 70 AD. And the people that trusted in the law that fled to that temple and didn't run the other way, they died a terrible death when Titus come in and destroyed that temple. And you know they were thinking, where is our God? Well, you know what? Jesus told them, don't do this. Don't run to this temple that you are looking at. I'm telling you now, run the other way. And listen, where's our God? He told you. He told you to run the other way. He's that way. He's not this way. But it was a future. It was a future rejection of what that resurrection meant because they denied who Jesus said He was and the dangers of holding on to temple worship because the temple didn't fall the day that He raised. But about 40 years later, a generation. Which generation? That generation. That's who He spoke to. That's who He told, don't do this. There were people who did that and they died, and there were people who didn't do that and they watched and they saw with horror their brethren die, their countrymen. And they said, if we hadn't have listened to Jesus, I'd be on the wrong side of this. And so, if a temple was raised today, there's going to be millions of people flocking to it. And Jesus said, don't do that. He's told you, in you I am reestablishing my temple. Not there, but right here. In Matthew 24, we've been through three verses, and we have put into question, anybody with any sort of reasonable thinking can follow the train of thought that, you know what? He is talking about the temple. And He does say that His body is greater than the temple. And after the resurrection, He says that the physical stones don't matter, but the spiritual stones do. But that's not what I've been told. I don't. Like I said in the beginning, false teaching is very difficult to, some of it is very difficult because you have to unteach. People have to come to grips with thinking, could I have been wrong? Could I have been wrong about But what people are saying about Matthew 24, because when they talk about raptures and they talk about resurrections and they talk about temples, they go to Matthew 24. That's where they run to, Matthew 24. And we're going to show, we've been through two lessons. Who was He talking to? What was He talking about? That's the first two that we've done. The next one we're going to see, He's going to start telling us things that are getting ready to happen. But He's still talking about the temple. Still talking about the physical temple that they're going to watch fall. And if you think, no, I can't believe what Jesus said. I got to believe what I've been taught all my life. I go back to what I said earlier. Boy, I tell you, I don't know. Who can't figure this Bible thing out? That's just, I knew that. yeah, I don't even need to waste my time. That's not how we see when we read, is it? No. And so, if we come to the realization, see, I was wrong before I came to Christ. I was wrong. I thought that I had a relationship with God because I recognized Him. I thought I had a relationship with God because I was grateful to Him. I wasn't confused that there were other gods in the world. I wasn't confused with this. I didn't think, well, which God is God, right? You know, the Ethiopian eunuch, they were driving along on their camels. And then he said, stop. And so the whole procession stopped. And remember, it was, Philip that was talking to him. And he was, he said, look, there's water. He says, what hinders me from being baptized? Baptized? Where'd he get an idea like that? Well, if you go back and you read what he said, it said that when Philip showed up and he started talking to the eunuch said, he was reading in Isaiah, he said, is this talking about you? Or is this talking about somebody else? And you know what he told him? He said he began to preach Jesus to him. So my God in heaven, if somebody preached Jesus to us, where in the world did he get an idea of baptism? Because when you preach Jesus, you preach what they did on the day of Pentecost. Repent and be baptized, every one of you. That was the message that he preached to the Jews, and that was also the message that he preached to the Gentiles. You know how? Because that's how God was going to put the whole world back together into the body of Christ. Because that watery grave of baptism, Roman tells us, is our act of dying and being raised from the dead. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus for the remission of sin, and you will receive the gift of His Holy Spirit. But you know, they talk about belief. They talk about belief. They talk about belief. In the Ethiopian eunuch, he says, what hinders me from being baptized? You know what he told him? He says, if you believe that Jesus is the Christ. See, we're baptized into this man's name. We're baptized into this teaching. Now, if you have the NIV, that verse isn't in there. It's in the original manuscript, but they saw it fit to leave it out of that. It's not in there. But he tells them that you don't just get baptized just in case these Jews and these Christians are right. You have to know why you were baptized. That's why in Paul, in Acts 19, when he ran across some disciples, he said, you haven't heard that there's a Holy Spirit? And then he mentions, what were you baptized into? And they said, John's baptism. And you know what he did to those people? He baptized them. For what reason? The same reason that the Gentiles were baptized, that you're baptized, the same reason the Jews were baptized on the day of Pentecost, to receive the indwelling Holy Spirit. The temple of God. Do you see it? Nothing's greater than this resurrection. Nothing's greater. And when Peter began to preach on that day of Pentecost, the Jews hated him for it. The same Jews that called out and said, crucify him, crucify him. Do you know that when Jesus walked this earth, the Bible says that while he walked this earth, he had the power to forgive sins. And so he would say, your sins are forgiven, you take your bed and walk. He did that to prove that he was from God. Anybody that was alive then, the Bible says that God has commanded all men everywhere to repent. And our act of repentance is that immersion. What makes us a living stone is the Holy Spirit of God. Our bodies are going to die. But the Holy Spirit is what raised Jesus from the dead. And he said, take heart, it will also raise you from the dead. So what's your decision as we stand and as we sing our hymn of invitation?